Our text, 2 Timothy, instruction to the young preacher from the older preacher, keep at it, keep going, don't give up, don't let the external circumstances dictate your attitude or your actions, keep on for the Lord. Don't ever stop. Don't let anything stop you. He's pouring out his heart. Now, Paul's in the dungeon prison waiting execution. His churches were struggling. And Timothy was pushing forward for Christ, and Paul was encouraging him. And he encourages him, of course, in the truth. Don't give up the truth. Don't negotiate the truth. Stick with it. Speaking truth in love is the position of the Christian. Speaking truth lovingly. Speaking truth in love. We've worked through 1 and 2 Timothy in our morning time together on Sundays. We are now in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we've worked our way down to verse 14 where I read just a few minutes ago. Of these things, put them in remembrance. And last week, of course, the focus was verse 8 and following. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So what I'm teaching and preaching, don't forget that. Keep going back to that. Remind yourself of the finished work upon the cross for our redemption. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them. Let's pause for prayer. Father, lead us in this text. Guide us. You know us best and love us most. I thank you for that. Please use your word in our lives this morning as only you can do. Not wisdom of man, not clever phrases from man, but truth from you. It's what we need. It's the only thing that will help us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The work of the Lord in and through his local church, the preaching of the word, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. So there's a challenge here. You know, preach the word. Stay on track. Stay on course. It is vital that the local church preach the word of God and teach the word of God. As the Old Testament says, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. So that we know God and we know his word, and we know God through his word. Not God as I think he is, or God as I wish he was, or like a lot of people, God very much like me. What a mess. But you know, in all honesty, there's a lot of people that either think God is like them or wish he did things their way. And I think we probably all drift into that once in a while in our lives. We just wish God would see it our way. But then you stop and you thank God that he doesn't always. When we agree with him, he does. But how much time do we spend trying to get God to agree with us rather than God simply says, I am truth? Agree with God. And Timothy is challenged here, and it's put forward. Do we dare say even back in his day there was an attention span problem? Of these things, put them in remembrance. Didn't it seem like people a long time ago used to have great memories? It's like, well, they didn't have to have so much stuff to remember. I've got to remember all these passwords to my different computer stuff, and I got to remember. I don't have to remember phone numbers anymore. You probably don't either. You just look at a name on your phone and push a button, and there you're talking. And I can call all of our kids, and some of the grandkids have phones now, which is fascinating. But I couldn't tell you one of their phone numbers. I don't know what the phone numbers are. I know where they're in my phone. So, yeah, there's more. We got more. These people years ago didn't have so much to remember. It was simpler then. It could be. But isn't it interesting that Paul's telling Timothy, put them in remembrance. Remind them of these things. Call these things to their attention. Because we forget. And one of the beauties of the local church is when the local church, a properly ordered local New Testament church, will preach and teach the Word of God. That's God's plan. Feed the flock, the book of Acts tells us. The church is the feeding ground of God's people. So it helps us when we're buffeted around all week by this mixed up world. We can come to church and God will use His Word to help us. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's helpful. Yep, I know that, but I kind of forgot, or I wasn't thinking of it. God does amazing things through the preaching of His Word because it's His Word. And you can go home today and you've probably all heard different messages than the person next to you. I hope there's some conformity to what you're hearing, but God uses it in all of our lives. I want to just take a minute. We've got time. Ephesians 4. We'll take the time. Ephesians 4. Here's the work of the ministry, the work of the local church, to bring to remembrance of these things, put them in remembrance, help them remember. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about the responsibilities that God's given into the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Why has God given gifts to the church? It's to help all of us grow in spiritual things, to help bring us to maturity, to help us understand the Word of God and how it applies to our lives. I've known people over the years that they know a lot of Scripture, but they don't apply any of it to their lives. Knowing is great. Applying is the next step. To know the Word, to have it affect our lives by the Holy Spirit of God. So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so we do the work of the ministry together, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the help it is to each other as believers, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. What unity? Unity in the truth. Be united in what the Bible says. Unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Where does that knowledge come from? It comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come to me through a sign or a vision or some modern song that somebody wrote and sings. It comes from the Word of God. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, complete, mature believer, a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth... So that what happens then is we are no longer like children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It is the work of God to be grounded in the truth, stability, so that we're not off course because of some book we just read, some secret somebody just found that nobody ever heard of before, some lost book, somebody's podcast or somebody's YouTube channel. If somebody's got, they know something that nobody else knows, but it's the Word of God. That's where we get our stability, and that's how we can have victory over all the conspiracy theories that are really almost innumerable in today's world. The conspiracy theories. And I challenge, and I just challenge us as Christians, if you get pulled into somebody's conspiracy, let the Scripture pull you out of it. Conspiracy theories. But at the same time, you have to know as a believer in Jesus Christ, you believe the truth. And if you've read some conspiracy theory that makes sense to you and you start sharing it with people, it'll affect your testimony. It'll hurt it. Because these things that it's got to be true because this guy said it. It's got to be true because I read it on his page. No, what's true is in the Word of God. Everything else is suspect. So stick to the Scriptures. Now, obviously, Timothy wasn't having these kinds of troubles in his day. You know, stay off the podcast and stay away from all of this. But they had their own issues. They're drawn back to the Scripture. They were not tossed about. And Christians ought not be tossed about today in this volatile political world. Which side are you on? And we are a divided nation. We know that. We struggle with that. But know what's going on, but don't let it harm your walk with God. And if knowing what's going on harms your walk with God, then I think ignorance could be helpful to know a little bit less of what's going on. Because most of what's going on, I'll say, all that's going on in this world, you can't change it. You can talk about it, you can fret about it, you can fuss about it. You're not going to change it. But when it starts to affect your walk with God, when you find that life is just too discouraging, it's just too hard, nothing is going right, everything is falling apart, Jesus isn't, salvation isn't, God isn't falling apart. So again, for us, put these things in remembrance. They needed it in Timothy's day, and we need it today, maybe even more than Timothy's day. So the stability, and this is as Paul is helping Timothy. Going back now to our text in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them. That's a authoritative word. Put this out there. That they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Even back then, in that day, there were words without profit. They were not helpful. They were not from God. They were subverting, which is to subvert, New Testament word, to overturn, to demolish. It also carries the word catastrophe. Words to no profit. What will help God's people is God's word, the truth from God. What will not help God's people is everybody's opinion times 10. Everybody's opinion, everybody's viewpoint. I think the teaching of the word is vitally important. And when we study God's word together, we don't say, well, what do you think that means? How do you feel about it? How does that make you feel? What do you? Let's all give our thoughts about what that passage might possibly mean. And it can mean one thing to you and one thing to me. And we don't get in those mush things. And the preaching teaching time is so limited. Do you really understand how limited it is? You think, well, it seems to really just sometimes it goes on forever. Well, it only seems like it. It never goes on forever. But it's so limited. You look at your week. Who gets your attention most of the time? What is it that we're focusing on and busy doing and doing and doing? Yet, the teaching and preaching time in the Word of God is so limited in our lives. A 30 to 35 minute message once a week. I don't think it's enough for any of us. Once a month, a couple times a year. Words to no profit have no business coming from the pulpit. What must come from the pulpit is the clear, accurate, Holy Spirit-led preaching of the Word of God. Anything else overturns, it demolishes it, it's catastrophe. That words to no profit. Bible preaching and teaching always has substance. It's God's Word and the Holy Spirit, God is the only one that can help us, and He helps us through His Word. Motivational stories. Oh boy, don't tell me a motivational story. Some people, they just want to come to church, just get all fired up and run out the door all excited, and it lasts an hour maybe, half hour. I just need to feel something when I'm at church. What does that mean? You could have an emotional feeling from a story. I've told many of you know this, but out of Bible college, we helped my dad start a church in Wisconsin, and for employment, I worked for a major insurance company. And you've heard this, some of you haven't, but if you've heard it, you'll hear it again. And this isn't everybody, okay? I'm not putting a blanket on the whole thing. But here's what I was taught in insurance sales. That to get the sale, you have to, first of all, you have to tell really funny stories and get people laughing. And then as you present whatever it is, product that is best for them, you tell a tearjerker. And you try to get a tear. You try to make them really sad. And here's what they said. If you can make a client laugh and you can make a client cry, you'll get the sale. I never forgot that. Because I know in so-called evangelism over the years, evangelists come in the pulpit and they will laugh, you will laugh up a storm. They'll tell the funniest stories and jokes, and they'll work through and they'll get to some tearjerker. And they'll get everybody just so sad. And then they'll hammer the invitation. And the results make them laugh, make them cry, and go for the sale. Now that may build great sales quotas, but it is not the will of God nor the work of God in the local church. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God with substance to challenge the hearts of the people that are there listening to the preaching of the Word. And if we learn anything from God's Word, it's because the Holy Spirit taught us. And if we have any kind of thought that I just feel convicted, something's just, that has to be the Holy Spirit. And not some kind of pulpit manipulation. And we've struggled. People have struggled with that over the years. What is the work of God? Or what is the work of man? God uses His Word. He does. He's promised to. So that brings us then to verse 15. Timothy, study. Study. Does that word just kind of, is that kind of a scary word? Doesn't it sound really hard? Study. Young preacher, study. Had a preacher tell me a few weeks ago, he said, you know, pastors sitting in their study studying is just an age, that's just gone. That era is over. And I don't know what guys are doing. I can't do that. There are AI programs now where you could type, I want a sermon from 2 Timothy 2. I want illustrations. I want a couple poems. Push a button, and a few seconds later, you're done. That's not the work of God. Preparing to preach to the local church on Sunday, preparing the local church pastor. Study. Can I tell you, studying is hard work? June of 93. That would be 1993 for those that have to jump back. Candidated at Sunrise Baptist Church in Austinique, Michigan, just south of Alpena, right on Lake Huron. We had helped Dad start a church. After that, we had moved to Florida, taught Christian school, coached varsity high school football. From there, we went to Joliet, Illinois as an assistant pastor, school administrator. And that's when God called me to full-time pastoral ministry. June of 92, I let the school board know and the church know that God was calling us to full-time pastoral ministry. And I had a couple churches contact me with curiosity. Interesting, one was actually a church that my dad pastored in Shelburne, Vermont, years before. Well, that none of that came about. God didn't open any of those doors. So we moved. The only place I knew to find work was Watertown, Wisconsin. Moved to Watertown. Got a job. Well, I got three jobs, actually. In the morning, I would go to Calvary Baptist Christian School. Their janitor had heart surgery. So in the morning, I went over and spent a couple hours cleaning the school. And then I went to work at a leather dry cleaning company. I got home from work, had supper, and then we'd get a babysitter to come. Kids were in bed. About 8 o'clock, Sue and I would go clean an office building. And that went on for almost a year. I did some supply preaching, filled in, and some things. But anyhow, it was June of 93, almost a full year later, and I hadn't had a church. Nothing was happening, put it that way. So I got a call from a large Christian school in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it was a big Christian school. And they said, we're looking for a Bible teacher. You'll teach all the high school Bible, and we need a varsity basketball coach. And this was a big Indianapolis Christian school. So we talked, and Sue and I, when we prayed and talked, and just felt, well, maybe I misread this thing for now, and we should go back into this. And so we agreed to go down there and visit. And then, about 2 weeks before we were supposed to do that, I had a call from this church in Michigan that we had visited several months prior. And they said, yeah, we've looked at some things, and we'd really like you to come and candidate in June. I said, well, I said, we'll pray about that. But I said, I want you to know that we have a commitment to go visit this ministry for this need. And I've made that commitment already. So we're going to just see what the Lord has for us. And I was quite, I don't want to say troubled, but you work through things. And it's like, okay, I really believe the Lord would have me to preach. But now that I've made this commitment... So you go through those things, and I'm not one to just call and say, never mind, something better has come along. So I'm at work, and Sue calls me, and she says, I just got a call from the administrator in Indianapolis, and they've had some changes in the school, so they're going to have to go a different direction, so they've asked us not to come, to come and interview for this position. So that all changed. So... End of all of that, the church called us in Austinique, Michigan. And I remember, now there's a reason for this long event. I remember the first week of being the pastor of that church. What I remember specifically more than anything else, we got moved up there, moved stuff into the house. And then it was time to prepare a message. And I remember two things. First of all, that was the first time in my life that I had no other, shall we say, employment responsibilities other than preaching and preparing a message and shepherding a flock. And it just overwhelmed me that first week that I could spend hours and hours studying my Bible. And outlining and making notes and all of it just really intrigued me that my time was now freed up to do all of that, to be prepared to preach. Now, 30 some odd years later, having preached four times a week for 30 some years, you're kind of on the, not the other end, but you're kind of maybe nearing the finish line. But what a joy, and I've never ever taken it for granted, that I have the privilege to do what the church family cannot do, is to just dedicate my hours and hours to being in the Word, being prepared to preach the Word of God in the local church. There's nothing like it. And if God calls you to preach, have at it. You know, just let the Lord lead and guide and the study part. Because what we do here is we preach the Word of God. These are not therapy sessions. That to just come and feel better and you'll just feel better for a while, then come back next week, you'll need another little boost in feeling good. These are not, it's not therapy to help us feel better for a moment. It's life-changing truth that's presented in the local church. So all believers, you know, you look at that verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Now all believers are responsibility to study the Word of God. Know what the Bible says. You think about that, though, in the context of the local church. Remember, we won't take the time, but over in Acts chapter 6, with a choice selection of deacons to help as servants in the church, to help do the work of the ministry. Why? So that the pastor can be freed up for prayer and study of the Word. Not to know the latest trends, what's trending, what are the popular themes. What would people like to hear? What does God have to say to his people through the preaching of the word in the local church? That's what it is. No guaranteed formulas, no trends from surveys of what people want to hear and how you're going to do this and that. As some would say, morphing into a generation of shopkeepers. No, preaching the word of God. God works to have his message brought every time his people gather. That's why Timothy is being so encouraged to study, to be a workman, to be approved unto God. You are serving God. You are his workman. Don't be ashamed of the word. Know it, love it, and rightly divide it. What does that mean? Simply right application. How does it apply? Not a verse taken out of context and hammered in over here to make it fit. No. What does the Bible say? What does God want us to learn from this? Obedience, unashamed, without regret, with right application of Scripture. And he continues this thought. In 16, he uses the word shun. Strong word. Keep away from. Profane and vain babblings, time wasters, fruitless discussions. The local church should never promote or excuse any kind of wickedness, any kind of false teaching. The desire, the plan, the ordaining of the local church is so that every time God's people gather, we first of all, we worship God. And then we allow the preaching of the Word of God, we allow God to use that in our lives according to His plan and His purpose. Stay away from all false teaching. Stay away from the fruitless discussions from the pulpit. And those, some of you know me pretty well from the years we've been here. I'm not really a discussion guy. You know, we can sit around and have coffee and have discussions, but when it comes time to preach and teach the Word, it's time to preach and teach the Word. And, you know, there's people that, well, we should have, I wish we had more times to ask questions. And fine, if you have questions, I'll be happy to talk with you. But what we're doing is so vitally important. And I have found over the years that, you know, people can ask questions. Sometimes they're good questions. Sometimes they're, you know, not so good questions that aren't really part of the topic. So if you have questions, I'm happy to hear them. But we're not going to stop our Sunday school class. And some people like the discussion format. It can be effective. And oftentimes maybe is effective, but we don't have time. We need the systematic preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We need to stay away from things that would be distracting. It's interesting, too, because he gets pretty strong in his words here. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The only thing that will help us is the Word of God. It won't help you to know what's trending among evangelicals. It won't help you to know what's going on in all of this and all of that. And what will help you is the Word of God. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Well, that doesn't even sound nice. The New Testament wording, it would be like it would eat like an ulcer. There were those that are named that were guilty of the false teaching. They've erred. They're wrong. They were teaching, even back in Timothy's day, in Paul's day, they were teaching that the resurrection is past already. So they were wrong in what they were teaching. They were teaching in error. And it was destabilizing and it was weakening believers. It was harming the church. Only the truth helps us, you and me. And when we look at the ministry as Paul's encouraging Timothy, there's this aspect of the local church that we must understand. The preacher entering the pulpit must be prepared by a week, hours of study and prayer, not a 9 o'clock Saturday night, I need to say something tomorrow. But just, it's just a continual thing. It never stops. God works to have his message brought every time his people gather. This is in a local New Testament church ordered after the Word of God. The preacher must be prepared. Now, the second part is maybe a little harder than the first part, because the people must come. That's the hard part. The hours of preparing to preach the Word of God, it's what God ordains and orders and demands in the local church, that his word be preached and taught. That there's never a Sunday school, a Sunday night, a Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, where there really just isn't anything ready. Well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about today, so let's talk about, let's think about, no, well, maybe we ought to look at this. That's not how God works. He works very specifically. And I don't guilt people. And two things I've learned over the years. When I preach on attendance, it goes down. When I preach on giving, it goes down. I don't know why that is. It just, so I'm not fishing here, okay? But you know, you look at the work of the Lord and the instruction of Paul to Timothy, and you know, put the truth out there. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. The preacher must be prepared, and the people must come. If either one fails, the work of God is not accomplished. Now, we don't think about that so much. But what does it benefit the local church to have a pastor prepared and people that don't come? Now, again, you know, you work that out between you and the Lord. I don't take attendance. Though I did. The second church that I pastored, they took attendance every Sunday. Can you believe that? He had to pass a notebook down, and everybody had to sign in, and then it went to the office, and those that weren't there got a letter. That lasted about a week. That got lost somehow. It never happened again. But you see, the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and that's what it's all about. And that's what, how's Timothy going to keep going to know that what he's doing is the truth from God, to be preached and taught? The pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3. Because the pillar and ground of the truth is not government. It isn't a school system. It's not the United Nations. It's not YouTube podcasts. It's not any of that. There's one pillar and ground of the truth. That is the obedient New Testament local church, made up of people that learn from it and are encouraged by and challenged by the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. As Paul encouraged Timothy, I pray that we're encouraged in that today, that we see the necessity of the local church, the preaching and teaching of the Word, not myths and fables, but truth. And I pray that this group of people in this place this morning would know that when they come to church, the truth is preached and taught. It's available. And I pray that you will work in our lives and through our lives. And I pray that we will know the truth, love the truth, and speak the truth in love. We do, dear Lord, we do want to help others. We want people to know what it is to have sins forgiven and be at peace with you. We just long for that for people. It's such a hard world. We desire for Christians to be close to you, to be learning from the Word. to be growing spiritually. So we help each other in this by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.